Jobs, jobs, jobs.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning. Happy Friday from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're about 40 minutes away from the May jobs report from the Labor Department. Analysts expect more than 500,000 jobs were lost, and the country will zoom past 9% unemployment. It was a $20 billion deal between world miner Rio Tinto and China's Chinalco. It would have been a huge deal, the biggest deal for China. And all of a sudden, poof, no more. There's a lot of wrangling to put this deal in the garbage can. And our man in London, Stephen Beard, joins us right now. Good morning, Stephen.
Hello, Steve.
So why did this deal collapse?
Well, Rio's shareholders were against it from the outset. They didn't like this deal. It was struck in February at a time when the company, that is Rio, was at a pretty low ebb. Commodity prices were flat on their back. Rio was desperate for cash to pay off its debts. The shareholders felt Chinalco was really getting too much for its money, getting nearly 20% of the shares. And since February, commodity prices have picked up, Rio share prices picked up. In the end, it collapsed because it just looked too generous to the Chinese.
You mentioned debt, Mr. Beard, but Rio still needs that money. It's $40 billion in the hole. Where's that going to come from now?
Well, they've agreed a joint venture over an iron ore enterprise with their big Australian rival, BHP. Under this deal, BHP is going to pay Rio around $6 billion, and Rio is launching a share issue, raising a further $15 billion. The markets really like this news this morning. Both Rio and BHP shares jumped 10%.
And I can't imagine the Chinese are very happy about this.
No, I think they must be very miffed indeed. They've missed what was looking like a pretty sweet deal. They do have the consolation of around $195 million in compensation from Rio. But for the Chinese, this was a pretty important strategic investment, a way of getting more control over the raw materials that their emerging economy needs. So, yes, I'd say the Chinese are pretty disappointed.
Our European correspondent, Stephen Beard, joining us from London. Stephen, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Mining deal aside, overseas markets have been in the green today. Asian shares closed mostly higher, about 1%. In Europe, the German DAX is flat, while British and French stocks are up. Here at home, S&P and NASDAQ shares added more than 1% yesterday. The Dow closed higher about 75 points to 87.50. Chrysler's bankruptcy plan is back in court today, a plan that would, in the end, have Italy's Fiat running the carmaker. But three Indiana pension funds object. They hold millions of dollars in secure loans, and in the bankruptcy deal, they're set to get only a third of that back. No word on when a ruling's expected.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Monsanto, committed to sustainable agriculture, creating hybrid and biotech seeds designed to increase crop yields and conserve natural resources. Produce more, conservemore.com. And by Reuters, offering breaking news, exclusive stories, and insights that impact today's financial markets. More at newsfirst.reuters.com.
The Obama administration this week announced a Great Lakes Czar. Yes, there is one. The official is expected to oversee a big effort to clean up the world's largest source of fresh water. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, here's Sam Eaton.
Years of toxic chemical spills, wetland destruction, and invasive species have taken a toll on the Great Lakes, so much so that restoring and protecting these waters would cost an estimated $20 billion. President Obama has proposed spending about $500 million next year on the cleanup. Jeff Skelding is with the Healing Our Waters Great Lakes Coalition. He says that means choosing projects that will yield the highest return.
The challenge is going to be to spend that money wisely and to be able to demonstrate real on-the-ground success. And if we can do that, I think that the chances of getting this kind of funding every year for the Great Lakes is a possibility.
Skelding says first on the list are projects with easily measurable results, things like fixing leaky sewage lines and cleaning up toxic sediments. That would create jobs in addition to improving water quality. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Between Lakes Huron and Erie, Detroit has reigned supreme as the Motor City, but the motor part of that has hit some big potholes. The turbulence on the ground, however, isn't affecting its success in the air, and area leaders want to make that point. From Michigan Radio, Sarah Hewlett reports.
Detroit Metro Airport, was already one of the busiest in the nation. But when Delta Airlines merged with Northwest earlier this year, it made Detroit the second largest hub for the world's largest airline.
So that really puts Detroit front and center for starring role in the future of air transportation.
That's airport spokesman Scott Wintner. This week, Delta added nonstop flights to Rome and Shanghai out of Detroit, and company officials say they see Detroit as the airline's gateway to Asia. The launch of two major international routes was buried under headlines about General Motors' bankruptcy filing. But Wintner says the destinations, especially to the coveted China market, are no small thing.
And a time when we have to place a declining amount of reliance on the auto industry as our sole economic asset here, the airport is ready and waiting and really has been, though upstaged by the auto industry, really has been a strong economic asset.
Local leaders hope to make the airport the center of what they call an aerotropolis. Basically, a cluster of businesses surrounding the airport, everything from warehouses and shipping companies to entertainment venues and corporate headquarters. Robert Ficano is the top official in Wayne County, where Detroit and the airport are located. He acknowledges the aerotropolis is a bit of a foreign concept in the U.S.
But you go to Frankfurt, you go to Schiphol, you go to Beijing, you can see that they've been able to turn it into an economic engine. And we have this opportunity here.
Ficano says Detroit is better positioned to become an aerotropolis than other places because its airport has lots of vacant land around it, it's got gleaming new terminals, and it's near the international border with Canada. Marketing to potential developers is expected to start soon, and backers of the concept hope it will help restart the Motor City's economic engine. In Detroit, I'm Sarah Hewlett for Marketplace.
Hey, what's your favorite takeoff or destination? No long security lines, and you can keep that bottled water, too, while checking out our website, marketplace.org. Check us out there. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Have a great Friday and a very nice weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.